The following message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton.
Hallelujah. It's praise the Lord. And thank you, Dave, and Hannah, and Will, and Maddie. You know, it's. Have you ever tried singing without breathing? Dave just tried, and he did a good job. And I appreciate our team and all the different teams that do so many different things all the time, serving you, serving this house, but more importantly, serving God. Amen. Amen. And as we get going this morning, I mean, and my wife will tell you, and I'm blessed to have my wonderful wife. God made her for me because I'm a weirdo. But she... we're not big on, like, we may celebrate her birthday 2-3 weeks after her birthday, and she's okay with that, thank God. But today is our 2-year anniversary in this house, and we have so many good servant people. You know, they should we do these the big thing and all the stuff, and with all that's going on, I said, no, let's just celebrate with the house, with the body, praising him for what he's done. And I believe we're going to celebrate with the message that he gave us today. Amen. So I'm excited about it. So Father, I do thank you for your word. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for calling us into your family and giving every person here receptive ears to your spirit, that we would follow you and advance your kingdom in the way that you want it to be advanced, Father, doing things your way, the supernatural way that's in power. Father, we desire to truly follow you, to be followers of Christ, to follow you and your leading, Father. And we ask you to lead us in wisdom this day to apply your word in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so, let's go to the Gospel of Mark. You know, the Gospels tell the story of Jesus. And, you know, each Gospel tells it from a little different angle. It tells the same story. And it's just confirming in the mouth of truth, three witnesses, everything's established. Well, Jesus is established. But in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, I want to start in verse 27. Remember, you know, Jesus was celebrating Passover with his disciples, and this is where he instituted communion, the Lord's Supper. And he starts talking to them, because Jesus knew what was happening. He knew what was going on. See, we have to understand that I don't always know what's happening, and I don't always know what's going on. But because of Jesus, I have his spirit inside of me, who knows everything about everything. So I can trust him to lead me regardless of what my mind knows or doesn't know. So let's just look at this. Then Jesus said to them, all of you, he's telling his disciples, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. They're like, what? He said, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I've been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Now Peter said to him, and it would be Peter, even if all are made to stumble, he says, not me, basically. I'm not. I'm not going to do it. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. But he spoke more vehemently. If I have to die with you, Peter says, I'll not deny you. And then all of them said the same. We won't do it. Okay? And they were sincere. They were with Jesus, right? And it goes on. You can read it and read it in the different Gospels. In the different Gospels, it says, you know, Judas comes and betrays Jesus with a kiss, as it was said in prophecy, okay? And they all come with clubs, you know, all the Jews and the Romans, they come to arrest Jesus, right? And in all the Gospels except John, it says, and one of them, you know, cuts off the ear, right? Now John goes out and calls him out. See, all the other ones are like, well, one of them. Now John 18 verse 10 says, then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and he struck the high priest's servant, and he cut off his right ear, and even gives the servant's name, Malchus. And Jesus said to Peter, put your sword in your sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me? Jesus knew what was going on. Peter is going to try to stop what's going on. Why? Peter is in the natural. Listen, this is his Savior. This is his Jesus. This is his teacher, his rabbi. They're coming to take him, and he wasn't going to let it happen. He told him he's not going to deny him. I'm not going to leave you. I'll die for you. And then he goes and proves it in amongst a crowd of people with weapons. Right? That's bold. Right? Now Jesus heals the man's ear, which should have given the high priest and all those folks a message. But that's okay. They weren't walking that way. Let's go to verse 66 in Mark 14. They've arrested Jesus. Now, as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest, they came. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, you also were with Jesus of Nazareth. But Peter, he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you are saying. And went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. Verse 69, and the servant girl saw him again, and he began to say to those who stood by, this is one of them. But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it. You talk like you're from around there. Verse 71, then he began to curse and swear, I do not know this man of whom you speak. And a second time the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And when he thought about it, he wept. This all happens in a very short space of time. Peter stood up to him, drew his sword, and he absolutely was willing to die. I don't even know this man. See, we've been talking about being spirit-led. Okay? And to be spirit-led, you have to be receptive in your soul to the Spirit. Your soul is a receiver. It's your mind. You're always receiving information, right? You're receiving information from the natural realm. You know, you're seeing stuff happening. You look outside, the weather's doing whatever. You're getting information. You're processing that information, and then you're acting. In the world, as we live in the world trains us to receive the world's information and to respond. Right? Whether at work, at school, just interacting with people. And so as we grow, we start creating mindsets. Right? Peter had a mindset. It was a natural mindset. That's why when he was defending Jesus, it was in the natural. Had he been in the spiritual, he would have understood what Jesus understood. Jesus understood, this is my task. This is what I'm supposed to do. Jesus, you can't do this. That was Peter's thing. You can't die. You can't leave us. You can't let them take you. I'll die for you to keep that from happening. Peter was responding to what was happening in the natural. With emotion, by the way. As the church, spiritual people, we have to have expectations that don't come from our natural experience or from the natural realm. And yet oftentimes, as Christians, we function that way. Me too. And then what happens? You know, Hunker and Julie said a long time ago, expectations, reality, and that distance is disappointment, right? You know, Coach would tell the kids that. There's no disappointment in Christ. There's no missed appointments. A disappointment is a missed appointment. You were supposed to be here, and yet your mind, in its emotions, being led by the flesh, put you over here. You missed what Jesus was saying. They had been with Jesus, walked with him in the flesh. They were told what would happen. Guys, all of Israel were told what would happen. A Messiah would come. He would be the king. Their expectation was one that would deliver them from the Roman rule, that would come sit on the throne and defeat and just whip them. That's why they missed Jesus. Because what he was whipping was the works of the enemy. He was whipping the flesh. He was whipping all sin. He was saving humanity. But he didn't do it the way they expected, and so they denied him. How many times have we been disappointed, missing an appointment because we thought Jesus would do it this way? And he didn't. I have so many people that come to me, yeah, I tried Jesus, I tried faith, didn't work for me. The truth is, because they came to Jesus with their expectations and their parameters. The creator of the universe will not accept Monty's parameters. Monty's ways are not his ways. When God spoke to us that we would start a church, it was in 1999. I knew a lot in 1999, Dave. I was way smarter in 99 than I am in 2024, I can promise you. I had expectations of how things would be, how I would be. And yet, none of it worked the way I thought. Praise God. I started learning quickly that my expectations were not going to lead me to where I needed to be, which is, in essence, where you want to be. You want to be where God wants you to be. You don't want to be where you think you need to be. Because our natural mind cannot accept or understand the ways of God. You see, you know, the story with Elisha and his servant. When they're surrounded by all the Syrians, right? Elisha wasn't worried. The servant was excited. Why? They were surrounded, and it was hundreds of thousands. Guys, it wasn't thousands. Hey, you put about, you know, 1,000 folks around here, I'm going to be a little concerned. Talk to my gatekeepers, hey. Right? You put hundreds of thousands? Oh, boy. Because in the natural, the servant's looking at it. This isn't good. What did Elisha do? He said, God, give him supernatural eyes. Supernatural eyes to see what God's up to. What did he see? Legions of angels. That's what Jesus told Peter when he whacked the ear. He says, Peter, I forget, it's in Matthew, I think. When Matthew tells the story, he says, Peter, put your sword away, man. You don't think I couldn't have 12 legions of angels right here, right now? If this fight were a physical fight, poof, gone. Creator of the universe could have done that. It wasn't a natural fight. It was a supernatural battle that was being won in the only way it could be won. Jesus dying for our sins. That's the only way it could be won. Why? Because he was never going to go against his word. The wages of sin is death. A death had to pay for sin. But it had to be a perfect, unblemished lamb. That was Jesus. See? Amen. And that's the good news of Christ, right? He did it for us. But because he did it that way, we have to take from that and say, okay, Lord, your ways are literally higher than my ways. So as I'm taking in information, forming expectations, where's that information coming from? Is it coming from your word? Is it lining up with your word? Does it bring me peace? Does it bring me joy? Does it bring me encouragement that I have courage to walk out whatever I face? You see, we've all made choices, right, in our life. Planted seeds. Reaped harvests that weren't fun. Right? I did it. I didn't like it. And yet there were consequences to my choices. Was that Jesus' fault? No. Was it his desire for those bad things to happen? No. Whose fault was it? Mine. Yet I do remember, and that's why I love this verse so much, you don't have it, but it's okay. That Psalms 139, 3 through 5. I'm just going to read it to you. You don't have to put it up. It's in the Passion. It says, you are so intimately aware of me, Lord. You read my heart like an open book. You know all the words I'm about to speak before I even start a sentence. You know every step I'll take before my journey begins. You've gone into my future to prepare the way. And in kindness you fall behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. With your hand of love upon my life, you impart a blessing to me. That's Psalm 139. You read that every day. Because it doesn't matter the choices you made. And even the consequences of those choices you're going through now. He's going to take you through them. You need to expect that. But only as you follow him. See, if you put parameters on it. Apply natural means that you figured out. You're not going to get the supernatural results that we talk about from the word. And then you're going to blame God. It's your fault, God. Well, no, it isn't. See? He's given us everything for life and godliness. That's what the word says. He's given us everything. It's up to me in my soul to receive that. And then choose to apply it. And that's where the freedom is. See, I'm here to encourage you. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm saying wherever you're at, whatever choices you've made, whatever situation, as bad as it looks right now. And in the world, guys, there's some things that look bad. And if they continue in the natural realm, it is bad and going to get worse. You're going to have to apply a supernatural solution to some natural problems. In Psalms 62, 1 and 2 in the New King James, first, it says, truly my soul silently waits for God. What's your soul, your mind, will, and emotions? If you find yourself not waiting for God, your soul needs to start getting silent. That silently and wait in the Hebrew is one word. It's all one word. Okay? When you have the Holy Spirit, you have the Helper who knows everything about everything, right? We've talked about that Bible study. We've talked about it up here, right? We're three-part beings, spirit, soul, and body. When you've accepted Christ as your Savior, right? You've admitted and accepted Jesus as your Savior, believe that he is the Savior, and confess it with your mouth. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart he rose from the dead, you will be saved. The Holy Spirit seals you. How does he seal you? He comes into your spirit man and makes you holy in your spirit man. But your soul man, your mind, will, and emotions has sanctification to go through. This is a concept I preach over and over. Do you know why? Because if you can understand this concept, you're going to start applying every scripture to your life. If you don't understand this, The enemy is going to trip you up with confusion on some scripture. That's why I hammer this all the time. It's vital that you understand this. You're made in the image of God. But the decision is in your soul, man. If I'm going to tune into the Holy Spirit, my soul has to get quiet. The receptors of my soul, think about your soul being a receiver, right? That receiver has to be tuned in to the frequency of the Holy Spirit. And yet oftentimes I'm tuned in to the flesh and the stuff yanging at me, pulling at me, because it's pulling at me to get me out of receiving what the Spirit's saying. It's pulling at me. How do you know it's pulling at you? My soul ain't quiet. It's frustrated. It's irritated. It's bitey. It gives nonverbals. Really? And you say stuff. Right? Change the frequency, people. Change the frequency. You have the ability to do that. You're feeling guilty about something? Change the frequency. Lord, forgive me. Change the frequency. Change the frequency. Right? Quit listening to the condemnation, guilt, fear. We're going to talk about that one in a minute. Fear. All the stuff. It's always going to be this way. Sarah's so mean to me all the time. It's always going to be this way. I can only change the frequency for myself. And I can apply God's word to my life. But I promise you it will affect my wife. It'll affect my kids. It'll affect the people that work with me. The people that come to see me. It'll affect my congregation that I'm called to preach the word to. But it's up to me to do that. Because I know from him comes my salvation. That's the second part of verse 1. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Satan's trying to move you off your spot. He wants you in a disappointed place so you miss the appointment God has for you. He wants you off your spot. If you go down to verse 5, it says, my soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. This sermon's titled Expectations because I'm really smart. I don't know how to title sermons. But I know that I've had expectations that weren't right because they weren't from him. See, all my information gathering was wrong. It was from the flesh. It was from the circumstance. It was from my own experiences. It wasn't from him. You see, my expectation is from him because verse 6, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. I will not be moved away from the appointment he has for me. In Luke 21, 25 through 28, this is talking about the end times. Remember, you're only scared if you're scarable. That's smart. Luke 21, verse 25. And there will be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars. And on the earth, distresses of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. This is troubling stuff. Men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Stuff's happening. But look what it said. Fear in the hearts and the expectations of what they see happening. This stuff is coming. You're seeing a small taste of it right now. And guys, it's a small taste right now of what's coming. And yet, I love the song they sung. We speak Jesus. We speak Jesus. We speak Jesus. Amen. That gets me excited. I speak Jesus. I have Jesus. I will speak Jesus. I might get there. Verse 27 says, then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Look up. Don't look at your situation. Look up. Who's the author and the finisher of my faith? Jesus. Right? You see, this is not a... I hope you never leave here thinking, man, I'm bummed out. No way. Don't be bummed out. Be excited. He's already gone before you, preparing the way. And then he's good enough to go back here and say, Mommy, yeah, you messed it up, but I'm gonna take care of these things for you as you keep walking in me. Right? That's freedom. That's freedom. That's freedom. That's freedom from fear. That's Psalm 34. I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. That's verse 4, 34, 4. He'll deliver you from all of them. But what does it start with? I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord. I went to the Lord. Pastor, come fix this. I have every person in about a 200-mile radius, not everyone, a ton of them calling me because they've got a problem. I cannot answer all of them. I am learning to be spirit-led on those things. It's taken me a while. I used to think I had to respond to everything. And my initiation is, I'm going to take care of it right now. That doesn't sound like a soul waiting patiently. It sounds like me jumping into stuff and then looking at the mess I created saying, God, help me. Which he will help you, but part of the helping is, let's stop making the mess, Monty. Right? Let's stop making the mess. Why don't you wait on me and then do what I tell you to do only? You know what I'm figuring out? That works better. I'm only 53. I'm learning stuff. Praise God. Jimmy, I got a ways to go. I'm going to catch you. But I'm finally starting to learn that, man, if I seek him, he redeems me. He delivers me. He gives me peace regardless of what's going on around me. Because there's stuff going on, right? And guys, I'm not complaining. I'm equipped to do what I'm doing. You're equipped to do what you're doing. And Satan don't like what you're doing. He don't like it. We don't care what he likes. Amen. Amen. We don't care what he likes. I don't care what the world likes. I care about people, but I don't even care what they like. I love people, but I don't care what they like. Why? Because spiritual things have to be spiritually discerned. And I'm going to do things by the Spirit. Am I going to make mistakes? Yep. What am I going to do when I do? Admit it, quit it, and forget it. Amen. With the right heart attitude. Right? I'm not going to be perfect walking this out. But in my imperfection, I'm going to recognize it and keep tuning. And keep tuning. Amen? Oh, boy. Because I'm about to start the whole sermon now. I really am. I'm right at the start. Everything I just said is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So if I don't get here to everything that's in here, y'all can get there, okay? 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 16. I probably won't get them all because I'm getting close, trust me. Ish. In the Passion, I did this on purpose. When I read the word, when I study the word, I always read the New King James first. Why? Because that's the one I started in. That's the one I was trained in. When I remember a verse, it's always going to be that way. Then I have to go to the Amplified. Why? Because it amplifies what it's saying. And it makes me look up the different words. Either it's in Greek or it's in Hebrew, right? There's a little bit of Assyrian in the Song of Solomon. The lovey one. That one. That's a little, different story. Doesn't matter. But today, as I look at the Passion, Listen to what Paul writes. He says, my brothers and sisters, when I first came to proclaim to you the secrets of God, I refused to come as an expert, even though he was an expert. He was an expert, right? Trying to impress you with my eloquent speech and lofty wisdom. For while I was with you, I was determined to be consumed with one topic. Jesus, the Messiah. One topic. One topic. Jesus, the crucified Messiah. He was speaking Jesus. I stood before you feeling inadequate, filled with the reverence for God, and trembling under the sense of the importance of what? Of my words, is what he's saying. The message I preached and how I preached was not an attempt to sway you with persuasive arguments, but to prove to you the mighty power of God's Holy Spirit. For God intended that your faith not be established on man's wisdom, but by trusting in the almighty power of God. However, there is a wisdom that we continually speak of when we are among the spiritually mature. It's wisdom that didn't originate in the present age, nor did it come from the rulers of this age who are in the process of being dethroned. Instead, we continually speak of this wonderful wisdom that comes from God, hidden before now in a mystery. It is his secret plan, destined before the ages to bring us into glory. None of the rulers of this present world understood it, for if they had, they never would have crucified the Lord of shining glory. Man. It's all good.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton. For more information, check out our website at www.lighthouseraton.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lighthouseraton. Please join us in person at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at our new location, 1310 South 2nd Street in Raton, New Mexico. You can support the Lighthouse Radio Ministry by giving online at www.lighthouseraton.com or send a check to 1310 South 2nd Street, Raton, New Mexico, 87740. Love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. You are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore.